You are locked in to Locked On Badgers Wednesday, December 11th, talking football season awards. I'm going to start handing out some of my awards for this year. MVP awards on defense and offense, most improved player awards. Also, Wisconsin basketball tonight looking to solve their nightmares. It's been awful watching this team on the road. I mean, it's been like a, you know, night and day difference between watching Wisconsin on the road and at home. And tonight, they look to solve some of those road issues at Rutgers. So previewing that game right here on Locked On Badgers. My name is Asher Lowe, and I am the sports director at WSUM 91.7 FM Madison. I'm also a contributor for Ravels.com's Badger Blitz and a play-by-play broadcaster for many Badger sports, including basketball and football. Most importantly, I'm your host right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast, bringing you the inside student perspective. It's finals week, and we are going to hand out some grades as well in honor of finals week later in the week. Give me the student perspective filled with stats, special guests, all things Badger sports, handing out grades for this season. And today it's award season, but in the next 2 days, I'm going to do some grades for team offense, team defense, special teams, grading this Wisconsin season and some different elements of it. Listen and follow for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can also play Locked On Badgers on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Badgers. Starting with the season awards that I was promising, it's been an up-and-down year for this Wisconsin team. I started talking about the season in review yesterday, and 10-3 this year, two losses to Ohio State, of course the dagger in the hearts of Badger fans, the loss to Illinois, 31-point favorites, 30.5 I think the line closed at, on the road against Illinois, and they lose that game outright. And of course, a Rose Bowl appearance, that's the story. Wisconsin finished on a high note. Despite losing in the Big Ten championship game, they do get themselves a Rose Bowl appearance, which is just, you know, exactly what the doctor ordered for this Wisconsin football program, especially with a great chance to win this game. And we'll talk about the matchup Wisconsin and Oregon more next week and in the week following as we get ready for the Rose Bowl right here on Locked On Badgers. Wisconsin did open as 3-point favorites, by the way, for the Rose Bowl down in Pasadena, Camp Randall West, as a lot of people know it. So cannot wait to, it's kind of weird for me. It'll be like, you know when you have that feeling of like you see someone just out of context or like something totally out of context, like you see a coworker or like a, you know, someone in your class just like at some random location that you'd never expect to see them at. That's kind of how it's going to feel for me when we see all of Badger Nation, all of Wisconsin just, you know, parade down on Los Angeles, California. Like, I was watching these videos today on Wisconsin's Instagram, and it was like, you know, 1,000 more, probably thousands of Badger fans just invading Staples Center, like the area of LA Live. And I'm just like, what? Like what? Like, this is strange. But it's going to be really fun to have everyone. I'm, of course, from Los Angeles. That's why it feels weird to me. I grew up going to Clipper games. I grew up a massive Dodgers fan. I grew up a massive UCLA fan, football fan. So yeah, it's gonna be really weird for me to see kind of everyone from Wisconsin at the Rose Bowl and a place, you know, I've been quite a few times to watch UCLA football over the years, and of course to see everyone in LA. So it's gonna be awesome to see so much Badger Red out in Los Angeles. I really can't wait for it. Time to give out some awards. Time to give out some MVP awards, offense and defense, for this season. Let's just say I'm not going out on a crazy limb for my offensive MVP. If you listened to the show yesterday, you'll know that I thought this guy was snubbed. I think he should be at the Heisman Trophy presentation in New York City. I think he deserves to be there. I think he was the best running back in college football. I don't think that's even debatable. You can throw any stats at me you want, anything you want at me. I will always say Jonathan Taylor is the most complete and best back in the country. He's also just a great dude, and I think that matters. Jonathan Taylor is my offensive MVP this year. Heisman snub, of course. One of the greatest college backs we've ever seen, let alone at Wisconsin. Just one of the greatest college backs ever of all time. Best college back I've seen in person. I mean, it's amazing to watch him in person. It's really just been such a privilege to watch him in person. First team All-America, it was announced yesterday, late last night, so very, very happy for him getting that honor, and I think the Doak Walker Award could be in his future as well. Should be at the Heisman Trophy presentation, as I said. He should absolutely be there. Deserves to be there. 299 rushing attempts this year, 1,909 rushing yards, 6.4 yards per carry, 26 total touchdowns, 5 of those touchdowns receiving touchdowns, and he really just upped that element of his game, as I talked about yesterday. He focused on it in the summer, in the fall, and it led to success in the field, and that's what great players do. You know, they find ways to get even better. And it just really seems like he is a master of the game, you know, a student of the game, a guy that's improved every year at Wisconsin, a guy that's rounded out his game and is ready for the National Football League. And I think, obviously, this will be the last time in the Rose Bowl that we see Jonathan Taylor in a Wisconsin jersey, because he's ready for the National Football League. I've talked about how it's not even a should he go, should he not go. He has to go. That's how the careers of running backs are, you know, that's how they work in the National Football League. You get 2.5, 3 years on average. That's the average career for a running back in the NFL. So you have to go get that bread, get the payday, and he's going to do that. But he's added a major element to his game this year. The only knock on him all year was that OSU game, 20 carries, 52 yards. Of course, had a big fumble against Illinois, if you want to talk about knocks on him, but that wasn't really the play that decided that game. Many other plays went into that loss. That was a team loss. And he's also had some of the most incredible moments I've ever seen for a running back in college. 3 consecutive 200-yard weeks against all Big Ten opponents. Had a first half for the ages last Saturday against Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship on the biggest stage. Had his biggest game, his biggest half, maybe of his career. That half was just that 44-yard run for a touchdown at the beginning of the game, then just bouncing off people down the left sideline for a 45-yard run at the end of the half that set up the Wisconsin touchdown, the Jack Cohn sneak. You can basically just put 14 points all on him in that first half, 14 of the 21, literally 100% because of Jonathan Taylor making things happen. He is special. And you know what? I saw a video, an awesome video yesterday on Twitter. You know what he said to Ohio State after the game? There was a video of him going up to J.K. Dobbins and going up to some other Buckeyes. And what he said to them, just it sums up everything about who he is. This is who Jonathan Taylor is. After Wisconsin loses to Ohio State, he goes up to players, congratulating them, whatnot, you know, good sportsmanship and all that. And he said to them, you can hear it on the film, he said to them, go win this for the Big Ten. Congratulations, but go win this for our conference. That's awesome. That's really awesome stuff. Big Ten supporting the Big Ten. Jonathan Taylor gets it. You know, it's more than just me. It's more than just even us. It's this whole thing, this whole system, this conference, college football as a whole. Jonathan Taylor gets it. And it's awesome to see when your star player is as down-to-earth, as awesome of a person, as compassionate as Jonathan Taylor is and has been throughout his 3 years here in Madison. Could not have picked a better guy to be the face of not only the football program, but of the athletic department. Jonathan Taylor has carried everything for this university with class, with dignity, and he deserves to be my offensive MVP. Coming up, defensive MVP and most improved players on both sides of the ball. Coming right up. Turning to the other side of the football, my defensive MVP this year is none other than the senior, the leader, Zach Bond. He deserves it. 12.5 sacks, led the team this year. 7th in the nation in sacks, by the way. And the Brown Deer native, speaking of another great dude, like, he's awesome. I interviewed him for a series we do at WSUM, the radio station I work at, college radio. And I interviewed him for a series we do called Badger Profiles and asked him some different questions about him, you know, what his experience in Madison has been like. And he's just an awesome guy, really smart guy, and just a great person to talk to. And he was amazing on the football field as well this year for Wisconsin. At the outside linebacker position, a senior season where he just stepped up his game to a level that we have not seen from Zach Bond. He led this group along with another linebacker who I'll talk about in just a little bit, another senior linebacker. But Zach Bond, so quick off the football, sideline to sideline, making plays across the whole field. You know, he reads offenses. He can read the game so well. And that's so important at his linebacker position. at the outside linebacker position, the way he reads offenses, the way he reads plays before they happen, paid off in massive ways for this Wisconsin team. Also had two forced fumbles, also had an interception this year. Just an amazing year for Zach Bond, MVP of the defense for me. Most improved player offensively, I was thinking about this one a lot, and I think it has to be Jack Cohn. I think we saw a lot from him this year that we did not see last year. I think fans were a lot more cautious going into this year when Jack Cohn was announced the starter than they are right now. Tell me if I'm wrong on that, but I think we didn't think Jack Cohn was as good as he's been this year. Not to say he's been, you know, Jackie Heisman, as the offensive linemen want to give him that nickname and have given him that nickname, but he's been better than I think, at least I thought, coming into this year, because he's improved in many ways. Completion percentage, up 10% from last year, 60 to 70%. 8.4 yards per pass, up from 5.5 yards per pass last year. Three picks last year in just a handful of starts, four picks this entire year, and has had big-time moments when Wisconsin has needed him most. And that's really the number one thing here for me, at least, is the moments he's had when Wisconsin has had to have him step up. The Minnesota game is the perfect example, really, of Jack Cohn stepping up in the biggest moment. Had maybe the best game of his year this year. 15 for 22, 280, two touchdowns. Biggest game of the year for Wisconsin. Made huge throws. That deep ball to Quintez. Couple nice balls to Quintez overall. Had just an extra element about him, a confidence about him that we hadn't seen from him before in that Minnesota game. And that really is where he took a next step. Made some great plays in that first half against Ohio State. Of course, the offense as a whole struggled mightily in the second half, but made some really nice plays with his legs, extending plays, of course. A great call on the keeper by Coach Paul Christ to set up that read option for him. Just a great, great call. Entire defense went with Jonathan Taylor on that, and Jack Cohn kept it for a 14-yard score. So really things we've seen him grow in. His legs were better than I thought they were last year. His completion percentage growing because he's more on target with especially those throws that he has to make. He's making them. And his confidence, you know, he looks like a more confident football player. That's going to happen when you get starts under your belt, and he looks a lot more confident than we've seen him in the past. Other side of the football, defensive MIP, most improved player this year for me, Chris Gwop, baby. I love this guy. I actually just love this guy. He's so fun to be around. He walks into a press conference and I immediately start smiling. Like, he is so fun to talk to. What a dude. What a great guy. So fun to talk to. So entertaining. You know, always giving it up for his teammates. Always giving credit to other people. Never wants to take all the credit for himself. A selfless guy. A real leader for this defense along with Zach Bond. And what a beast. I mean, he's had such a great year. Wasn't highly recruited. Isn't bigger than you, isn't faster than you, isn't going to wow you on film with his physical gifts. He's just a damn good football player. That's what he is. He's just a dang good football player and gets off the ball much quicker this year, wreaking havoc in the backfield like we haven't seen, really improved his tackling. He's just a player that didn't play a full year last year. Last full year was 2017. If you look at the numbers, he's improved to be one of the best linebackers in the conference. Came into this year with 2.5 career sacks. This year had 11.5. His energy just infectious, never quits. And he seems to be in better condition this year, too. And that allowed him to be much quicker off the ball, like I was saying. Just in better condition overall. Excited for him to get a shot at making an NFL roster. Boy, wouldn't that be something if Chris Orr makes an NFL roster. He deserves it. The senior going out the right way this year. And he's going to be healthy, I think. I think he should be fine to play. Of course, got injured in the second quarter against Ohio State. What would have happened if Chris Orr and Noah Burks hadn't went down with injuries in that second quarter against the Buckeyes? I mean, what would have happened? You never know. You never know. Chris Orr was a big loss for this team in that game, and he's a guy that will always, always be a Badger that fans can respect, that fans love watching, that fans know will give it his all 110% of the time. It's been awesome to see. This episode is brought to you by Blue Chew. You remember the days when you're always ready to go? You guys remember those days, like when you're just ready to roll. And now, your performance, that extra confidence in bed, it's just not there anymore. Well, Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, and you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in any lines at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. Nobody's going to know. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Promo code is CODE in all caps with brackets. So bracket, CODE, all caps, another bracket. Just pay $5 of shipping, but you get your first shipment absolutely free. Blue Chew is the better, the cheaper, the faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Wisconsin basketball tonight heading on the road, a place that has been, any road venue, it doesn't matter where they're playing, has been a complete disaster this year. Like a complete disaster. 0-4 on the road for this Wisconsin basketball team. 5-0 at home. They just look like a different ball club home and away from the Kohl Center. Following three consecutive losses, they had, you know, offensive struggles that we can go on and on about. We have talked about on this show. The offensive struggles stemming from things like indecisiveness. The ball movement's just not, it's not crisp. It's not quick enough. The decisions just aren't quick. And it's painful to watch when people are just not making a quick, decisive decision. And it's just a lot of dribble, 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 dribble. Out on the perimeter, nothing happening, nothing happening. And it's looked like that in every road game this year. Following three consecutive losses filled with offensive struggles, they bounce back. This Wisconsin team bounced back at home against Indiana. And this team also just doesn't have a bunch of guys that can create their own shot. One of those guys that can create their own shot is Kobe King. He took the next step. I talked about it on Monday's episode. But Kobe King really took the next step. And the 24 points, team high 24 on 10 of 15 shooting against Indiana. The way he was getting his buckets, scoring in a variety of ways. I talked about this on Monday. The off-ball movement was elite. That opened him up for some jumpers. That opened him up for some backdoor cuts that he had when they were overplaying him later in that first half. When he started hitting a couple jumpers, Indiana started to overplay a little bit. Kobe King read that backdoor cut. His basketball IQ was sharp and clearly at a high level in that game against Indiana. And that'll allow a player to get open a lot more than they normally would if they're just, you know, if their movement isn't correct. It's not just about moving. It's about moving in the right ways. And Kobe King was doing that in that game against Indiana. It got him a lot of free buckets, a lot of good looks. Has a smooth one dribble pull-up, too. That boom 1-2, one dribble pull-up from just inside the arc. Those long twos that Kobe King hits with consistency. He also can explode off the dribble. I mean, he can really explode when he gets by you. He's going to elevate and finish with authority. We have a pretty good idea of what Nate Reavers brings. We know what he's going to do. We know what he's going to bring. Kobe King, we can see what he's going to bring. We don't exactly know every single night. But the issue is, we just haven't seen any offensive firepower away from the Kohl Center. And why haven't we seen it? I'm gonna bring back the Micah Potter situation because I think it affects this. It's hard to be a very good offensive team when you don't get any bench production. And right now, Brevin Pritzel, Tyler Wall, Trevor Anderson, they don't give Wisconsin enough offense off the pine to really, you know, back up the starting unit. They just don't give Wisconsin the offense that this Badger team so desperately, desperately needs to succeed. Micah Potter could add a big element to this team because if you insert him into the starting lineup and you send a lean forward to the bench, heck, let's get crazy, you send Brad Davis into the bench. I'm telling you, Wisconsin has to shake up this rotation when Potter comes back because you need a guy off the bench that can create for himself, that can score the basketball. To me, I would consider moving a guy that can give you offense, which is Brad Davison, to the bench when Michael Potter comes back. Starting doesn't mean what it used to in basketball. We've seen this utilized at the NBA level, and I'm going to bring my Clippers up as an example of this. it's not all about the starting five anymore. It's about having guys off the bench that can bring you firepower, because when you're playing against second units, you're generally going to get more offense out of those guys coming off the bench that, you know, or if they were starting, they'd be playing against better defenders, they'd be playing against, you know, just better players in general, because that's usually how college rosters stack everything. Kentucky did this. John Calipari does this, where he'll bring off, you know, maybe better skilled players off the bench that he knows can provide an offensive spark. He did it with a platoon system where he was bringing on, you know, five guys, and he just had two separate lineups that he'd bring on. Because what it does is it allows you as a coach to get an advantage off the bench offensively. Wisconsin needs some production off the bench. It's so hard to win in the Big Ten without bench production. So I consider it. I consider moving Brad to the bench. I consider, you know, even if Kobe King continues to expand offensively, you consider moving him to the bench, and he'd play the end of the game. That's not the point, right? Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, back to my Clippers example. The Clippers have been such a good team at doing this. Lou Williams, who is one of the best scorers in the NBA, if you don't know who he is, his job is to get buckets, and he does it at a professional level. He's a professional scorer. That's what we call Lou Williams in the NBA. He's a professional scorer. But he plays the end of games. Just because he doesn't start the game and start the third quarter, or in college basketball terms, start the beginning of the second half, that doesn't mean he's not playing starters' minutes and not playing the end of the game. You move Kobe King to the bench, all of a sudden you have some offensive firepower off the pine. All of a sudden, he's still going to play starters' minutes. He'll still finish out the game if he's playing well. No doubt about it. He'll be the one finishing out the game. But all of a sudden, you have him attacking matchups against another team's bench, and you'd rather have him coming in fresh, providing offense off the bench. Wisconsin needs something off the pine, just some shakeup off the bench. And we'll see what they do when Micah Potter comes back. I would guess Aleem Ford is the guy that moves to the bench. But I would consider moving a guy with offensive firepower to the bench, like I was saying, whether it's Brad, whether it's Kobe King. I know it's not conventional, but it's been proven to work at the NBA level, and I don't think college is that different in terms of rotations. I think you can model it in a very similar way. I think that same principle of a player coming off the bench, playing starters' minutes, bringing you offense off the bench, that six-man role, completely applies to college. Completely does. Looking at this Rutgers team that Wisconsin's getting ready to play, after talking about their offense and whatnot, this Rutgers team led by a guard tandem of Ron Harper Jr. If you recognize that name, it's because he is the son of Ron Harper, five-time NBA champion with the Chicago Bulls and Los Angeles Lakers, most famously. Long NBA career, Ron Harper, NBA legend, and Geo Baker is the other guard for this Rutgers team, a junior who Wisconsin fans have definitely become accustomed to over the years. Last few years, he's a very good speedy guard, still struggles a little bit with his consistency of his outside shot, but a very good passer, very good playmaker, will have the ball in his hands for a lot of this game for Rutgers. Ron Harper Jr. leading the team right now at 12.8 points a game. I'd expect him to be matched up with Aleem Ford for a lot of this game. The length of Aleem can really give him problems. Ron Harper Jr., a long, silky smooth scorer, can get to the rim, has a good jump shot, not a great jump shot, but a player that can score at all three levels, which is always what you look for in a leading scorer for a college basketball program. All three levels meaning inside, meaning mid-range, meaning outside. Geo Baker, I'd expect, you know, him to give Wisconsin some problems in transition. He's quick, as I was mentioning. A guy that can get up and down the floor. Look for Brad to be on him, possibly Dimitrik, depending on if the speed is too much for Brad. But the physicality of Brad could really do well on Geo Baker, who doesn't have a lot of strength on his frame, and that's something that is a weakness for him that Brad could exploit. Wisconsin leads this all-time series 7-2 against Rutgers. Greg Gard 4-1 all-time against the Knights. Rutgers did open as a favorite in this game, -1.5. That's just a testament to how much Wisconsin has struggled on the road. I mean, I don't know why anybody would have faith right now for Wisconsin going on the road. But hey, I do have faith. I think Wisconsin wins this game. I think Wisconsin wins this game close. I think that they're set up to really stop a lot of what Rutgers will try to do with the guards. I think Wisconsin plays solid half-court defense all game long, finds just enough offense. I think Kobe King keeps it going tonight, has another strong game. They find just enough offense to pull it out at the end. Give me 64-61, low-scoring Big Ten battle. Wisconsin pulls it out. As always, on Wisconsin, I'll see you tomorrow.